Well, this morning we're continuing our journey through the series Practicing the Way of Jesus. You may remember, if you've been paying close attention, that this week we were going to do simplicity. I'm very pleased to let you know that we're extending the series by a week, and next week we will be coming back to look at loving God and others. But today we're looking at the idea of simplicity. And that may not be something that you necessarily thought of when it comes to the way of Jesus. And yet it's something that I think in our day and age in particular is very, very relevant. In fact, more so than in Jesus' day, I believe. Well, I'm not sure if you're familiar with a program that airs on 7mate. It's one of my favorite programs in the whole wide world. It's called American Pickers. I love the show American Pickers. I love the way they find junk, and often they visit people who have a bit of a problem with hoarding. They're people who have accumulated things. And the two guys, Mike Wolf and Frank Fritz, they are the two American Pickers. What a picker is they're somebody who goes around and buys junk so that they can sell it. And they have a great time visiting these people who have been hoarding junk all their lives, and they try and get things from them by paying money. Sometimes it's really interesting that no matter how much money they offer, some people will not part with some things. And it's not because it has significant sentimental value. It's actually just simply because there's something about owning stuff that for some people is very important, incredibly important. How does this relate to our topic, the idea of simplicity? Well, one of the things that I guess it relates to is the fact that the material possessions we own and can sometimes become obsessed with are just one of the things that can stop us living a simple life. So let me tell you a little bit about what I mean or what I'm thinking when I talk about simplicity. First of all, I want to identify the desire that there is behind the practice of simplicity. What is it that when we practice simplicity we're wanting to do? The desire is to uncomplicate and untangle my life so I can focus on what really matters. Now, that's really, really important. The desire is to uncomplicate, unclutter, untangle my life so I can focus on what really matters. Sometimes we fill our life with so many things that what really matters becomes lost in the midst of the quantity. A definition of the spiritual practice of simplicity by Adele Alberg Cohoon is this: simplicity cultivates the great art of letting go. Simplicity aims at loosening inordinate attachment to owning and having. Simplicity brings freedom and with it generosity. Now, the idea of letting go of the need for things in our life actually generates generosity. Well, I want to look at three things today with regards to simplicity and it being a way of Jesus. The first thing I want to look at is that Jesus promoted simplicity. We can see this in the passage that we have had read for us this morning, both two parts of Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21 and 25 to 34. But in Matthew 6, 21, we come to one particular statement by Jesus that I think is very helpful. He simply says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's much easier in life if we don't have a lot of treasure. Because if we do, it becomes very much the center of our heart. It's much easier if we're able to remove the things that actually don't matter. This can be hard because we will often place meaning and importance and value on the things that don't really matter. And we're easily confused with this. The second part of the passage, chapter 6, that we had read to us, comes under the heading in the NIV of "Do not worry." But it's interesting, isn't it, that once again it focuses around the things that we might have and the concern or the worry that we may not have those things. And some of those things are important, aren't they? So in verse 31, Jesus says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?'" I'd like to say that all three of those things are pretty important: what you wear, what you drink, and what you eat. It's important that we have those things, but what Jesus is saying is that we don't need to complicate our lives overly with those things. Those things are actually a part of trusting God for our daily needs. As we recited together the Lord's Prayer and the idea of God giving us our daily bread. And so Jesus says, don't worry about those things because, as he says in verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. But in the meantime, each day has enough trouble of its own. And so I believe in these passages that we've had read for us this morning, Jesus is really trying to encourage us. He's promoting this idea. He's encouraging us to live a life of simplicity, to focus on the important things and not to get worried about or strung out with regards to things that are less important. You might remember in Mark chapter 10, there is a story of a rich young ruler. I just referred to it. I think it was last week. And in it, Jesus says to the rich young ruler, "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Jesus highlights to the rich young ruler, you've got an issue in your life, and it's to do with abundance, with quantity of possessions. The only way to fix that is to strip your life of those things. In other words, simplify your life and follow him. And so simplicity, or living a life of simplicity, involves choice. The choice demands priorities. It demands that we place values on certain things and that we recognize that some things are not to be valued. These are to do with matters of the heart, because it is actually our heart that will cause us to move towards something, to desire something. It's the seat of our affections, the heart. And so Jesus promotes simplicity, and he even does it with some parables. There's a couple of parables that are together in Matthew 13. I'll give you one of them. It's in Matthew 13, verse 44. The second one is in verse 45. But in verse 44, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Jesus is saying, the other things actually aren't important. They complicate life. They crowd out what is important. The purpose of simplicity is to determine what is of greatest importance. And in this parable, for the person who found this treasure, the kingdom of heaven, they put aside everything else they had so that they could simply have it. They prioritized. And so Jesus promotes this idea of simplicity, this idea of prioritizing and recognizing what is most important. The second point that I want to make this morning is that Jesus also practiced simplicity. It's hard to find verses that back this up, but one key one would be Matthew 8, verse 20, where in response to somebody saying that they would follow him, Jesus highlights that to follow him, you'll need a life of simplicity. You will actually need to decide what your priority is and focus on it. And so Jesus says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." This is actually quite an interesting description of Jesus's life. Where was Jesus's home as he did his earthly ministry? It seems to be that his home was very much the road between one town to the next. His home was often on the side of a mountain or in the wilderness. If it was actually under a roof, it was usually under somebody else's roof, because the reality is Jesus does not own a house. The interesting thing is that we have no evidence that Jesus owned anything apart from the clothes that he was wearing. There's a little story about the taxes and whether or not, or how it was that Jesus and the disciples would pay their taxes. I don't know if you remember, but Jesus sent Peter down to the lake where he would find a fish, and in the fish there would be in its mouth what was sufficient for their taxes. And so he even trusts God to provide his tax payments. This is very extreme, and yet it also highlights that Jesus was on a mission and he knew what was important to that mission, and he trusted God, his Father, for everything else. And so Jesus promotes simplicity and he models it. He practices this life of simplicity, this focus, and not a distraction with material things. I guess I should say at this point that I live in a house. I drive a car that I own. I have more than just the clothes that I'm wearing. In fact, I have a lot more clothes than what I am wearing. So I'm not necessarily suggesting that we need to go to the extreme that Jesus did. In fact, it's actually more difficult in our day and age to do that in our modern society. And yet, there's a lot that we could learn. And so the third point I want to make is this idea of practicing simplicity ourselves. I want us to think about that for a second. So with us practicing simplicity, I think one of the lies that the world tells us is that more is better. We often use things, and when I say things, it doesn't have to be material things, it could be activity itself and busyness, to medicate or feel better about who we are and how we're going. When we lived at Gilgandra, we bought a house, and that house happened to be on 10 acres. And one of the things that I discovered over a period of time was that I was beginning to fill up the 10 acres, and I imagine not many of you have even an acre with which to start to fill up, but I had 10 acres to begin to fill up with just things. Because we didn't actually have a garbage bin service where we lived out of town, I had to take our rubbish to the tip. And so I would do that once or twice a week, and I would go to the tip and I would make a deposit, and I'd also make withdrawals. And so when it came time to sell up and to come to Sydney to go to Bible college, we had 10 acres of which there was quite a lot of stuff. And so we had a big sale to try and get rid of some of it. But what do you know, some of it was actually garbage because it had come from the tip. And I ended up taking, I had a ute with a car trailer, and I think I took about 15 loads back to the tip. Why is it that I was doing that? Well, it wasn't simply just because it was free and it was there so I could take it. There was a reason why I was taking things I didn't need. Maybe it was to make myself feel better. One of the things that I've learned in my own life is that I have put my trust and faith in material things. In having the things that I might need, I somehow feel secure. And yet sometimes it's more helpful to simply have what we really need and to trust God for what it is that we might need. There is a basic reality. It's a law of the universe, and that is if you have a whole shed full of stuff that you are keeping because you might need it, seems to be that the universe plays this trick that as soon as you throw it out, because you haven't used it in the last 15 years, the week after you throw it out, you need it. I just figure that if I hadn't thrown it out, I still wouldn't have needed it. And yet somehow, life goes on and I survive and I manage. Often we use things to medicate or feel better. It's often helpful for us to sit and think and do a stock take on what we have to find out how much faith and trust and how much of our identity is actually in the things that we have rather than in ourselves and who we are in Christ. And so we sometimes build our identity around what we do or what we have. We often have things we do not need, and we can see our possessions at times even as a right. And yet all those things, if we're to practice simplicity, are worth challenging and thinking about. Jesus, with some of the things he said, he encourages the idea of simplicity. And one of the simple ways is he reminds us that our yes should be yes and our no, no. And yet that's also one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? When somebody asks you to help them, For some of us, the yes is the easiest thing in the world to say and the no is the hardest. But for some, the no is the easiest thing in the world and the yes is the hardest. Sometimes we find it hard just to speak the truth. And yet when we don't speak the truth, we move from simplicity to a much greater complexity than we need. Just speaking the truth about how we feel about something on the inside is a way of practicing simplicity. Another thing we could do is to practice letting go. To clean out something, for example, our garage, or to clean out the spare bedroom, or to clean out the attic or the basement if we have one. This idea of processing, going through and getting rid of things. To be able to prioritise. I don't know if you've seen, I think it was on The Living Room, they'd often have, that TV show, The Living Room, they'd often have an expert on decluttering. And one of the things they would do is they would get somebody who had a room that was cluttered or even a whole house, and they would rent out a community hall and they would basically put all the possessions, they just spread everything out so that they could go from beginning to end and they could decide. So if they walked up and, you know, this was one person and they're into surfing and they've got 15 surfboards, they would have to choose 5 surfboards and get rid of 10. And they've just got to make that decision. And to go through and process and realize what your priorities are. Practice letting go, to clean things out from our lives that we do not need. Material possessions are where most of is around what most of this is what I'm talking about, but of course it's not just that. Practice letting go of those activities that we do that we don't need in our lives. Are there a group of people that you spend time with where it actually doesn't help you in any way? And it stops you from meeting with another group of people who is very helpful to you. Limit your choices. Practice letting go. Another thing that I read as I was researching this is the idea of limiting choices and why it is that for some of us, we feel that we need to have 5 or 6 different breakfast cereals in the pantries. Why it is that we need to have 12, 13, 14, 15, 20 pairs of shoes. Why it is that we need, how many TV channels do we have? I know for me, somebody who's 50, when I was a kid living in the Southern Highlands, we had Channel 2, we had Channel 7, we had Channel 9, and we had Channel 10. But when I talk to Lisa, who grew up in Taree, I find that she had even less. How is it that we survived? And the interesting thing is, I'm not sure how many channels are on my TV now, but I can be there and not find anything that I actually want to watch. Choices are not all they're cut out to be. I have a friend who was living in Ethiopia as a missionary, and when he came back to Sydney, he said the choice was overwhelming. He said in Ethiopia, you go shopping, and you go shopping for cheese, and there's one type of cheese, there's one type of milk, there's one type of cleaning, toilet cleaning product, there's one type of everything, that's all they have. And he said to come back to Sydney, Australia, and to stand there at the freezer section and look at cheese and go, I'm just overwhelmed by the choice. I don't know if any of you have watched the TV sitcom called Big Bang Theory, but Sheldon Cooper, who is in it, very intelligent guy, and one of the things he decided to do in one episode was he would not make any decisions he did not need to make, and so he would roll the dice whenever it came to a decision, so he didn't have to engage his brain with that. Limiting our choice can be helpful for living a simple life. I'm going to go through the rest of these very quickly. One of the other things is somebody admires something of yours, give it away. This isn't so that, you know, next time I see you, I might admire your car or your house so that you give it to me. But think about this, when people say that they admire something we've got, just think about the challenge of whether or not you could do that and why you might or might not. If somebody admires something, give it away. If you can walk instead of driving, then walk. Keep your life simple. Get into creation rather than driving. Catalogue. So I got these list of things from a book on spiritual practices and to do with simplicity. It said, catalogue the gadgets in your home. Which have already made you freer? Which could you do without? I know at times in our home, we've gone through the cupboard and we got rid of the pie maker and the donut maker and all these other makers that we had but never ever made anything with. Another thing that you could ask is where you have complicated your life with God. What brings you into his presence? Because when you identify what brings you into God's presence, then you know what it is that you should be doing in your relationship with God. If there are other things that you are doing that don't bring you into God's presence, then they shouldn't be your priority. In fact, there could be some things that you might be able to remove altogether. Jesus, with his relationship with the Father, was very uncomplicated. He just did the things that brought him into the Father's presence. When asked to do something, say you will call them back in 10 minutes. So if somebody rings you up and says, I'd like you to do this for me, instead of saying yes or no immediately, say, I'll call you back in 10 minutes. And take the time to process and think through whether it's really a yes or really a no that you would like to give. I'm not suggesting you do that at work. If your boss comes in and asks you to do something, I suggest you do it and not ring him back in 10 minutes. These are all things that you can do to challenge yourself as to whether or not you're living a life of simplicity. And the purpose of that is so that you can quite simply find what is of greatest importance and live your life there. This isn't a sermon to make anybody feel guilty with regards to what they own or how they spend their time. But with all those different examples I gave you, there's a question that's helpful to ask with each one if you were to try any of those things. And that is to simply consider, what was that like for you? For example, if somebody did admire something of yours and you gave it away to them, or if somebody did ring you up and ask you to help them and you said, I'll call you back in 10 minutes, what was it like for you? Just note that. Was it helpful? Was it something that made your life simpler or not? And that way you can learn from the experiences of simplicity. So I hope that is helpful in some way for each of you. I think it's an interesting and challenging way that Jesus lived and practiced and encourages us to do the same. It's something that helps us to focus on him. And we're about to gather around the Lord's table and share communion together. That's an amazing opportunity to be reminded of what is important in life, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, Jesus doesn't seem to own anything in the world except the clothes on his back, and yet, of course, he's the one who created the world. He demonstrates that you can save the world with nothing. All Jesus needed to save the world was his body, which, as we gather around this table now, we are reminded of. That he saves the world with nothing but himself, his body, and his love for us. And it's important and helpful, I think, as we gather around this table to be reminded that the body that he gave us was his, that the blood that was poured out was his, and the cross that he hung on was supplied. Everything he needed to save the world in which we live was simply his body. He gave of himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus's example and for the reminder of what is of greatest importance. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to focus on what is most important. Lord, help us not to be distracted. Lord, I pray that if any of us try some of these exercises that I've mentioned this morning, that you would bless them as they do that. Lord, help it to be something that clarifies for them what is important, helps them to realize what it is that they can declutter from their lives, that they might have more of what is of greatest importance. We thank you that you've created us for relationship with you and for relationship with each other. You did not create us. You didn't actually create us to wear clothes. That's something that came later on. But you didn't create us to own things, to have possessions, to store things up. You created us for relationship. Help us to remember that and to live there where that happens. In Jesus' name, amen.